kingdom and for your willingness to go where you feel like God's called you to go and minister to single moms. God has given us a heart for the prisoners and setting the prisoners free. And, you know, I just pray that those that are local, because of the efforts of Eric and Nick, and hopefully this week I'll be out there, that we'll begin to have an opportunity to mentor them. I preach and teach all the time, so I'm letting Eric and Nick do all the preaching. I'm more interested in discipleship and one-on-one or one-on-three mentoring situation with the young men's there. And, you know, it's really cool because this is not my sermon. This is free. But it's really cool because when you start getting involved in people's lives, how many of you know the ways of the world are crazy? You know, they don't learn. I've been invited to actually help a guy who's in prison that will soon be getting out, to teach him how to pay his bills on time. You know, sometimes we just take, it just kind of goes right over our head. And how to budget. I think they've got a class where they're doing out at the prison, how to budget your funds. Other ones would be what it means to be a godly father and a father that loves their wife and their kids like, you know, Christ loved the church. So we're doing really hands-on discipling. And I love that kind of stuff. I really do. And I also love it because they don't have a clue. There's no religious stuff that you have to work through. They're just wide open for a touch from God and trying, because the world's way has taught them, I don't want this anymore, you know. I don't want this anymore. So I'm just so pleased and just honored to be a part of what you guys are doing, touching moms and families and derelicts and drug addicts. My heavens. I prayed the other day. I said, Lord, I'd be just happy as a bug in a rug if you give half the congregations were ex-felons. You know, it'd be so cool to have that in our midst and see the power of a transformed life. That's just good. I don't know about you, but this week I've heard answers to prayer from several of you. I mean, it was kind of like, it's not crying good, if you know what I'm talking about. How you pray for, how many of you know if you're honest enough to say, well, I prayed for something, but I wasn't real sure my faith level was up there for it, you know, and yet God just took what little bit of faith was there and just moved on it so quickly. And we've saw just a lot of, I've been personally involved in some of that, not in being the answer, but in praying and things of that nature. And then I have to admit, when the answer came, it was exceedingly abundantly beyond what I had even prayed for. And it's kind of like, wow, man, this is so cool to see what the Lord is doing. So I want to encourage you to keep believing God. Whatever you do, don't stop believing God. Amen. All right. Did I leave anybody out or anything else? That I guess Cassidy got off. And Aaliyah, is that was her name? It started with an A. So, Cassidy got up at 3 in the morning. Wow, that's a miracle. They didn't even go to bed, huh? Mm-hmm. She'll get there. Amen. Yeah, pray for Cassidy. She needs a permanent place to stay. So we've been praying about that as well. Are you in the book of Ephesians? You can go to chapter 4. I was rereading this the other day. And was just thinking about the fivefold gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and you know the scenario. I probably kind of bored you to tears with the history of all this, but I love historical theology, and that's my degree. So, but back a couple of decades ago, it was all about the persons that held those particular gifts. And now, during this dispensation that we're in, it seems that we've moved from the person that holds the gift to the actual functioning of that gift. And it took us a while. And God's so patient with us, you know, because he shares it and he keeps sharing it until we finally get a clue, you know, about, oh, okay, he's building on that. We need to make another shift here. So, you know, I was reading that, and then now we went down. I always say what happened is we went from 9 and 10 to 11 and 12 in the verse where it's all about the saints doing the work of the ministry, that those gifts are there to equip us to do those things. And I just, what blesses me is that you guys are doing it. And there was 5-6 years when we first started this, and most of this was on me because I'm still trying to adjust and work through some things. And I mean, you know, sometimes the devil tells you lies. You know, he'll try to get you to believe a lie and things of that nature. And but it's like the Lord just flipped a switch, and we're beginning to shift, and lives are being touched, and people are doing the work of the ministry. And on top of that, things are beginning to expand. And I'm trying to go somewhere with this. As I look back, I started today or this week in my reading, I thought, you know, I'm just going to, it does you good to sit down and read a book in its entirety instead of just a chapter at a time, just to sit down and read the book. So I did that, and as I did, I began to get a few more thoughts, which I thought I would share with you. And if you begin in chapter 1, and I'll go ahead and ask you to forgive me for preaching the entire book this morning, but as you begin in chapter 1, there's so many promises in chapter 1. It talks about, in verse 3, about all these spiritual blessings that he has blessed us with. And I mean, you could park on that verse and just begin to testify about how God has blessed you and with the spiritual blessings. And it can, I mean, just the sky's the limit with the testimonies that you can share with people in that regard. And he goes on to talk about how you're chosen, that God chose you and I, and that because of that, that we're blessed, we're chosen. And that chosenness or being a part of his family, he goes on, he talks about being adopted in verse 5. But because we're part of the family, we take on the characteristics of what that family means. And he tells us in Scripture that number one, we're forgiven. And he even uses the word blameless, you know. We're blameless. And we become like him. Holiness maybe not be a cultural word that we hear in our society today, but it is a culture word of the kingdom. That we are like him in every respect, that we value what he values. And the reason why is not because we're trying to do something to impress him or trying to act in a certain way or perform in a certain way to get him to love us more. We're unconditionally loved by him. And in verse 8, it talks about how we are accepted in the beloved. And that verse for me is so powerful in my testimony because, you know, as a young man, I really suffered from rejection. I don't know what you've suffered from, but I put rejection right up there with addictions. It is that powerful, and it'll just beat you down every time. And no matter how much you do, you may feel good for a couple of hours, but then it'll come right back in and say, well, you could have done a little bit more. And it's a cruel taskmaster. And it's so good to be free of that I'm accepted. No matter what you do, he still loves you. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to leave you in that circumstance, all right? But it's kind of like mamas and daddies. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. God forbid that your child should do something crazy and wicked and weird. But even if they do, guess what's going to happen? You're going to still love them. You're going to still love them, and you will even walk with them through that difficulty and even bear with them the shame that goes along with that. I remember my dad. I don't particularly like bragging on my BC days because I don't like talking about what the enemy did in my life. But I was the kind of guy that your mama wouldn't want me dating your daughter. But anyway, I did something stupid. Anybody here with me on that? Okay. I did something really stupid. Let me translate it. I did something extremely sinful, and I got caught by the law. And I remember I remember telling the police officers not to tell my daddy, and they said, why? I said, because if you do, you might as well go ahead and get me a casket, or he's going to kill me. And I honestly believe that. I mean, my daddy was like John Wayne. I don't, everybody know who John Wayne is. And he's a good man, yeah. And two people in life that I feared, God and my daddy, and not necessarily in that order, but So I remember I had to tell him, police officer came, and, you know, of course, the whole thing goes with it, the law and all that kind of stuff. And I was so surprised by how he loved me, first of all. But I was with him, and, of course, we made some adjustments and stuff, and I was already working, but he kind of picked my workload up, you know, idle hands or the devil's workshop, you know. And I remember I was working, and I had to go in the office where he was and ask him a question about how a particular thing needed to be done. And Mr. Gilbert, good old Mr. Gilbert, came in, and he just walked up to me and just started in on me. Just, you know, when you're guilty, you just sit there. I'm guilty. I mean, you know. But he wouldn't leave it alone. He was just hammering me and hammering. And my dad walked up in that situation, and he said, that's enough. That's all he had to say. And the man just looked at him. He said, I mean it. That's enough. And the guy turned around and walked on. I just melted into a puddle of tears. Because I realized I disappointed him, but he still accepted me. And I experienced this verse. And I didn't intend to share that. But we're accepted. Can you take that and translate it into or transfer it into the concept that he never holds your sin against you? As far as the east is from the west, he separates you from your sin. And in fact, in the born-again experience, you become somebody that you weren't before. You become a new creation. And it literally means in the Greek to be something you weren't before. That's good news. It's called being born again, all right? He goes on from there, and he talks about it in verse 9. Look at this. He said, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasures which he has purposed in him. In verse 14, he incorporates this mystery into the inheritance that you and I have. I likened it into the fact that the bank account is full. Write a check on it. Our bank accounts are full, and we just need to write a check on the inheritance that God has given to us. So if you need wisdom, ask for it. If you need insight, ask for it. If you need help, ask for it. You know, if you need breakthrough, ask for it. So Scripture says that we ask and he gives because he's a good father to us. Now James says sometimes we don't receive because we ask amiss, you know. So I would encourage you to stop. If you're asking for a pink Cadillac, you might want to adjust your prayer life a little bit. I don't think God likes pink Cadillacs anyway. That's a joke, folks. That's a joke. In verse 13, listen to this. Verse 13, that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He goes on. Then, you know, of course, we talked about this. I did a series on the prayers in the Scriptures, and we talked about the prayers there, how he prayed for that the eyes of my hearts would be enlightened, and that it, one of that scriptures that really meant a lot to me, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 17, the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory which are in the saints, and the exceedingly great power toward us who believe. I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to re-preach the sermon, but one of the things that really ministered to my heart as I dug into the original language, that the word revelation means to take the lid off. And what Paul is saying, I that's why he went on to say, let the eyes of your heart be able to see the great things that God has for you. In this walking with him in his kingdom, that he wants this revelation to be more than just flowery words for you and I, but a lived experience. When's the last time that God's revelation opened up part of your life for you? This aspect of never, there's not a glass ceiling in God. You'll never bump your head on it. He's infinitely greater, and everything that you need, He has if we come into that relationship with Him and allow Him to speak to you and I, because He's a speaking God. Chapter 2, he talks about from there, Paul talks about, he says, you were made alive, you were dead in your trespasses, but now you're alive. You got the life of God inside of you. And he goes on to talk about that. It's all a gift that He gives. It's grace through faith. And in my dealings with some of the mentoring that I'm doing and some of the discipleship that I'm doing, I just love that kind of stuff. I love 101, 102, or 3. Don't want it to get much past 2 or 3. But, sometimes you hit that wall because the world says if you're going to be liked, if you're going to be accepted, then you got to do stuff for it. But it's a free gift that God has given to you and I. This gift of salvation, the gift of a new life in Him, of partnering with Him. That's the job description. He says, now come walk with me in this. And He gives us this. It's all by grace through faith. And as the revelation increases, you realize there's not one thing that you have that He didn't give. It's all because of Him. I could not repent until He wooed me. When I was living for the devil, God was 1,000 miles away from my thinking. It wasn't even on the radar. I was having too good of a time. Until my buddy got shot, and then that kind of woke me up a little bit. But God began to woo me. He began to woo me. And then Carol Jones. Good old Carol Jones. Carol Jones is my spiritual mom. She lives in Atlanta now. I was rough around the edges, all right? And that's my mother-in-law that just said that. So. Okay, we'll close now in prayer. Carol Jones, she, the Bible says the righteous is bold as a lion. I was in my car and I was parked someplace at downtown doing something. I forget what it was. I'm sure it wasn't right, but. And she just, next thing I knew, the dome light came on, and Carol Jones just opened the door and sits down right there in front of me. I just looked at her like, are you crazy? She just began to tell me how much God loves me. Doing, hey, Terry, how you doing? No sweet talk, no niceties. I just want you to know God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And if you'll, she just gave me the gospel, man. And you kind of bristle up at it. And I couldn't hit her because she was a lady. Because I've been raised that you don't do that. But that's what got me started. This free gift. She kept telling me it's a free gift. I kept telling her, he wouldn't forgive me. She said, yeah, He does. It's a free gift. Look what he says after that verse. He says that in chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "But we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He performed prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I mean, in other words, God's got a job description for each and every one of us. And it's not because we have to do it. It's just because we're part of the family, In my family, we had household rules. When I was growing up, it was just a shiver. When my kids, my boys, I have 5 boys, when they were getting on in teenage years, one of the last things they hear me say was, live for Jesus and remember you're a shiver. And what that meant was, I don't want to get a call. All right? This is back before cell phones. And by the way, they didn't disappoint. He goes on to talk about verse 13. He says that you've been brought near. Do you begin to get the heart of Paul as he's doing these things? I'm going over this real quickly, but I just want you to see it. He said, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Again, it cuts, it slaps rejection right in the face that you belong. You belong. One of the greatest revelations I had as a young man is simply that not only does God love me, He likes me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? Come on, I'm serious. I mean, I've been in marriage counseling where I knew they loved each other, but I didn't know if they liked each other. God likes us. He loves us and He likes us. It's good news. He says, you've been brought near. You were part. He goes on to talk about how we're members of the family and the household of God. And from there, he moves on in verse 7. He says that God is, well, let me just read verse 7. He says, listen, in that the ages to come, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And I wrote in my Bible that God's just looking to brag on you and I. He's looking to go, that's my son. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's my daughter. Look what they're doing. Look what they just did. Look how they're bringing grace and mercy to a lost and dying. He loves to brag on you and I. He's a good father. What father doesn't, you know? If you don't believe that, just go to any soccer game of 6 and under, all right? That's why they have police officers there now, because they love bragging on their kids, and they don't like it when other kids treat them bad. It's funny to me. That's about the only age group that I could coach. The older ones I couldn't do. He talks about how he just wants to brag on that he's building, in verse 22, that he's building us into a dwelling place for God's Spirit. And then chapter 3, listen to this. He goes on in chapter 3 and he talks about this mystery. He already mentioned it in chapter 1, and he says, listen, here's the mystery. Let me just read it to you real quickly. And he says that in chapter 3 and verse 3, he says how that by revelation, then, what is he talking about? Paul is saying, God took the lid off my thinking. I begin to see the depths of His love and His mercy and His goodness. And I was talking with one of the groups that I was with this past week, how Paul took about 3 years. He was in the Arabian desert before he went up to Jerusalem to give what he was doing to the account of the Jewish brothers in Jerusalem. He was out there for 3 years. Guess what he was doing? He was letting God take the lid off his thinking. He was taking the Old Testament scriptures and God was unpacking it, and he was beginning to get this revelation of what God had called him to do, and that, yes, God's people were Israel and the Jewish people, but he got the revelation that it's for everyone. It's for all of us. Excuse me. So he goes on and says this. He says that how by the revelation he made known this mystery, which I have written briefly already, by which you have read, that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. He's setting up for the next chapter there. We're talking about the ascension gifts. And he goes on, and then he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ of the gospel, for which I am a mystery. And then this is the most important, in my opinion, this is the heart of Ephesians, all right? And again, forgive me for preaching the whole book, but here's the heart of it. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent, and here it is, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through Him, he says, through faith in Him. And then he ends it again with another prayer, which we looked at. He's talking about, he says, listen, I hope that God would grant you according to His mercies and be strengthened in the inner man through His Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded, you may know and comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, He's setting this whole thing up with for you and I as we move into this concept and that here's our job. Here's the job description, guys. You saints in Ephesians, here it is. God wants to, through you, to show forth His goodness and mercy to the principalities and the powers. It's cosmic. It's cosmic. And with that revelation, no wonder he prays again, hey, I want you to know the love of Christ, because it's cosmic. The principalities and powers. Listen, if you're breathing, you understand what's going on in our country right now and around the world. Tremendous warfare. And we'll get to chapter 6 here in just a minute. I'm not 20 anymore, okay? I've never seen our country so divided as it is today. Never. Politicians are actually calling on their followers to go beat up the opposition. I mean, this is crazy. It really is. It's absolutely crazy. And I don't care what denomination you are. Excuse me, political affiliation. I don't care what denomination you are either, but it's just crazy. God's called us to impact our culture socially, intellectually, in every area. I had a young man come to me this week. This is one of the prayer answers that totally blew my mind. He said, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. And so we sat down and he said, the Lord got a hold of me. I said, well, that's a good thing. Glory to God. He said, I'm supposed to go into politics. I said, sit down. I need to lay hands on you right now. I need to pray for you right now, because what person in their right mind wants to get into that mess? You know? I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, I think I'm supposed to go there. I said, have you given this prayer? He said, yeah, I'm still praying about it. I said, you need to go into this with your eyes open. I said, I'm all for it. We need to impact that level. We need godly men and women and God, you know, leading God and directing us. I mean, it totally blew me away. And because primarily I just got through reading this principality that we're addressing. Listen, I would suggest to you it's the paradigm of the way we think. Do you understand now why the enemy would want to do away with any moral influence over our kids? Do you understand now why if we have this privilege to one of the things that I'm seeing that God is beginning to get a hold of people's lives is the saints coming into a place of royalty in their mentality. To rule and to reign, to have dominion, is what he said, in the earth today. And what that looks like for you and I. As you meditate on this, the principalities and powers, it includes people, obviously, but it also includes the overarching thought patterns that hold that up. And when you begin to attack that, they don't understand it and they don't like it. When I got robbed about 2 or 3 months after I got saved and born again, hallelujah, and those guys, y'all know the story, right? They robbed my mom and dad, and I happened to be there, and they slammed me up against the wall and shoved the .44 Magnum in my mouth and a shot-off shotgun in my gut and slammed me up against the wall and all that kind of stuff. I thought I was history. I did. And in that moment, let me tell you something, in that moment, God came through. And I see my life, I cut my teeth on this stuff. And he showed up and said, my son, just like this, my son, I've got all things in hand. And then the love of God hit me, and I call it the ooshy-gooshy of God, just hit me, and it was like, yeah, this is nice. And I threw my hand up in worship and shouted out with all my voice, praise go. And it's God. You don't have to believe me. I don't care if you believe me. Something took them and threw them off of me. They went back a good 8 to 10 feet and looked at me, dropped their guns. They looked like they were on a drunk for 8 months. And I'm just in la-la. I'm in Shangri-La with the Holy Ghost, you know. And they were just absolutely, listen, let me tell you something. Two strongholds collided, and I won. The Holy Ghost won. And they looked at me. And you seen on cartoons when they would get hurt or kind of knock city, and they'd go, you remember? That's the only way I know how to explain. They literally went, and looked at me like, huh? And I pointed my little 17-year-old finger at him and said, you don't know who you messing with. And I wasn't talking about me. A clashing of worldviews. I don't have money. I need your money. Because I found out later I have a $500 a day habit. Cocaine habit. I got to have your money. Your daddy has $80,000 at the store. I want that money. And they didn't. Principalities and powers. I wish I could say that I just knew it all. It was all going to happen that way. I didn't. I thought I was going to heaven. I thought he's going to blow my brains out. I do remember thinking, I hope this doesn't hurt long. God saved my life and the life of my family that night. And they got caught. And I won one of them to the Lord. Ronnie Pierce, still serving God today. A clashing. And then he goes on to say this in chapter 4. Listen, he says, now listen, walk worthy of your calling. Let me rephrase it. This revelation I just got through telling you guys about, walk worthy of that. And he says, and then he starts in with the ascension gifts, all right? This is the longest introduction I've ever had. He starts in, and in order for that to be a reality for you, I'm going to give you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to train you and teach you so that you can do the work of the minister, or as I say, so that you can do the stuff. And we all get excited about that because as charismatics, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that He still heals people. We've been healed. We've seen Him heal people. We believe in deliverance. We've seen it happen. We've seen people walk free of the demonic strongholds in their lives and the demonic oppression in their lives. We've seen all that. We believe in all of that. And it's a part of our training. And so what really got me is that after he says this in verses, well, let's just pick it up there. He says, for the equipping of the saints in verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man. Do you feel this whole momentum just building up, man? He said, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, aren't you ready to charge hell with a water pistol? This is what all this training, this is what the ascension gifts are for. Anybody here wants the fullness of Christ? Man, he's just, you know, it's kind of like, glory to God, Paul, you should have stopped and received an offering right here. He goes on and he says, so that we won't be like children, tossed to and fro and cared about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies according to the effectual working by which every part does its share. And it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I mean, it's just like when you read, like, it's kind of like, Lord, I don't want to be the weakest link in the chain here. I want to be that part where the body is being edified and built up and experiencing the love of God in a more powerful and powerful way. And as I, you know, as I read that, and I came to chapter 4, and it talks about this ascension gift. And then he changes gears right here in the middle of all of it. Or at least it seemed to me, because I'm talking about, man, he has built this up to a point that it's a perfect place for him to come out and start talking about, you know, the realities of answered prayer. Ask whatever you. Hey, listen, guys, don't you remember? Jesus said, ask whatever you will, and I'll give it to you. Hey, Jesus also said that greater works that you will do than he did. I mean, it just seems like a perfect place for him to start outlining all these great things. You'll raise the dead. You'll heal the sick. You'll call nations to come to Christ in the blood of Jesus. You mean he's just kind of worked this thing up to this, in my heart, this crescendo of being filled with the goodness and the fullness of who God is. And you would think he would start talking about all the great things that our future has for us, and he doesn't do it. Look what he said next. This is what struck me. Therefore, because of all this mystery and this calling to confront the principalities and powers and being taught by the body to walk in your inheritance and experience all the fullness. Therefore, I say this and testify that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness and to works of uncleanness and greed. But, look at verse 20. You have not so learned Christ. And then in my heart, as I finish reading this out, he kind of begins to pick out some highlights for you and I. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true riches and holiness. And so instead of going, man, your future looks so cool and so bright, you're going to heal the sick, you're going to raise the dead, you're even going to do greater things than the Lord Jesus did. No, he doesn't. He just says, listen, you want that to be a reality? Put off the old and put on the new. I love Paul because he's just so grounded in the scripture. He's saying, listen, here's the deal. You're a new creature. Live like it. Walk like it. Deal with those things that hold you back. And so I wrote in my note this little phrase, what am I learning? What am I learning about the fullness of God? About my life counting, and that I'm not the weakest link in the chain, and that I'm linking up with other believers in this thing called synergy that's being created by the Spirit of God between us, and that because I'm with them, we have a greater effect than if it was just by myself. You know, is it any wonder? Listen, I could stop right now and say, how many have been hurt by the church? And everybody would raise their hand. Is it any wonder that the enemy will use that tactic to cause you to go, I will never do that again. How about this one? I will never trust. You can't pull your toes in just a little bit, because I'm about to step on them. You can't say that you're walking in love and and not trusting. Because trust is intrinsic to being a loving person. So Paul has this great admonishment. He starts off, he gets right into the life of this believer that has this mystery, this inheritance of confronting principalities and powers cosmically. And if you've been doing this long enough, you confront them in people's lives too. He says, put off the old and put on the new. I was once talking to a new convert, and he said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, it's like the Spirit of God is just introducing you to your new self of who you are and all that he's done and accomplished for you. Oh, man. It's so cool how he talks about, listen, what have you learned? What have you learned? Isn't that good? Remember who you are. If you want to have the effects of confronting a lost and undying world, remember who you are. Put on the new. Take off the old. The old is more comfortable, but the new is more who God is creating us to be. Let's read on real quickly. He says, therefore, putting away lying. Listen to this. He's talking to believers. Are you ready? Are you ready? Put away lying. I didn't. He wrote it. I didn't write it. Okay. Let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down in your eye. Now, here's verse 20. Here's the next thing that I really just popped up. And give no place to the devil. And then he goes on to talk about stop stealing. These are believers. He's writing to the church. Stop your stealing. He casts this humongous vision of the kingdom of God, confronting strongholds, principalities, and powers. And then he says, by the way, stop stealing. Am I preaching to the right people here? Don't you just love Paul in his practicality? You know, it's just not pie in the sky. By and by, everything's going to be wonderful. It's all join hands and circle to the right and sing kumbaya. Stop stealing, he says. Let's read on. It gets better, I promise you. He says, stop stealing. Those who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to those who need. Here, listen to this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what's good for edification, that it may impart what? Grace. How do you confront a stronghold? With grace. Oh, here's another one. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Let all bitterness and anger and clamor and speaking evil be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Do you see the heart of Paul in all this? I love verse, 20? Or 26, 27? Here's how I translated it. Don't give the enemy a foothold. And all of these vices that he's talking about here are footholds. It's really a wartime mentality. In World War II, we had two theaters, Europe and in the Pacific. We had two theaters that we were operating in war. And he's basically saying, in the theater of your life, don't allow the enemy to come in and get a foothold. What does that mean? What he says here, he gives examples of what that's like. You don't deal with your anger. He goes on to say, you know, it's okay. I understand you get upset and get angry, but sin not. He goes on to, and he talks about, here's a few more. He says, listen, here's a couple more. Please stop stealing. And then he says it this way. He even gets more personal. And this is Terry Schauer translation. You don't have to agree with it, but I think it lines up with the word. Go get a job. Get a job. Work. Why? So your needs can be met and so you can give to others in need. Why? So you can show the grace and mercy of God to others. I was up there at Publix yesterday, and the little lady, I don't know if she actually worked there. The bad guy didn't. He was bagging. It was some, thank you so much. I couldn't remember. It was special, and I walked up, and she had a sign. You know, it's kind of like, well, that's different. And she was talking about, I'm trying to raise $50, you know, so forth, so on. And I was just sitting there, and we were talking, and the guy was talking to me about it, and I knew he didn't know what he was doing because the regular Publix guy was going, wait, don't put that hamburger meat on those bagels, you'll smush them. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And I kind of smiled, you know what? And she just looked at me at the end of it, and I just took out everything I had in my pocket. It was a lot of money. I met her entire goal. Laid it down on the couch, said, God bless you, lady. And I shared my testimony. And she was like this. You going to do that for us? I said, with joy in my heart. God loves every one of those key people. He said, well, I said, and then I left. I said, you probably should have had it more than $50. He goes on. Listen to this. Look what he looks at next thing. Words. The rest of that passage of Scripture is all about your words. What do you say to people? You remember what he said before? Put off the old, put on the new. Can you see the Holy Ghost running around dropping GDs and MFs? I just don't see that. I had one guy come in and I was mentoring him, and he said, my girlfriend's went to the strip joint over in Jacksonville. I said, oh, that's different. And I love her. Well, good. I'm glad you do. I've learned not to offer my opinion until it's asked for, and he made the mistake. He asked my opinion. He said, what do you think about that? I said, I don't mean to hurt you or anything, but I just don't see Mary, the mother of Jesus, almost completely naked on a pole dancing in front of the men of Galilee. I'm sorry, I just don't. And this is one of the few exceptions. One of the few exceptions. He heard me. And I said, let's look at Scripture. We went to the Scriptures together. I said, let God deal with you and let him speak to you. You know what happened? He went to her and said, I don't think I can be a part of this. It broke his heart. He was in love. It broke his heart. Guess what he's got now? He's got to get an ice lady now. What is your words betraying? From the heart, your mouth will speak. Now, I understand sanctification. I know that we're in process. My daddy, I love him. He's in heaven now. I know he is. But let me tell you something. He could cuss the paint off the wall. I'm telling you, he could flat do it. And when he got born again, he'd still cuss the paint off the wall. And I'd sit there and just cringe, I look at my feet, ooh, I got to polish my shoes. Because I promised him, I said, God, I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going there. I love my daddy. You're going to have to be big enough to touch him yourself. I said, I'm just going to love him where he is. And you know what happened over the next year? It all got cleaned up. It started off with this. He dropped a few bombs. And then I noticed, I almost fainted the first time I heard it. He said, oh, dear God, please forgive me. It was the ghost. The ghost was working on him. Does this minister to you? I mean, you think that after he talks about you guys are going to walk in the fullness of God, that he would go off on these great exploits and say, here they are, 1, 2, 3, and then the very next thing is, stop lying. What are you learning? Put off the old. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Let me tell you something. A foothold is an excuse to reject the grace of God in an area of your life. Do you think we've gotten in the mess that we're in our country today because all of a sudden it just happened? You can go back through history and you can see how we slowly, the enemy just wants a foothold. Why do I say that? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And if you're not putting in the leaven of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, guess what's going to happen? So it makes perfect sense to me. Look what he says next. Real quickly, look what he says next. Walk in love. Walk in love. Then he says it this way. In the light of walk in love, look what he starts addressing. But he talks about being, you know, the sweet smelling aroma to God. Then he says, but fornicators and the unclean and the covetous, let it not even be named among you, which is fitting of the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For you know this, that he doubles down on it. All right, this is where he's doubling down on it. He goes, he repeats himself, that no fornicator, unclean person, a covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and in God. He compares true love with false intimacy. He compares the love of God with the lust of the world. Guys, let me tell you, this is a big one. This is a huge one. I feel like a Baptist today, preaching. Are you hearing me? I get in trouble all the time because when I get around these millennials and they start talking about, but I like sex. Well, I do too. But in the confines of the covenant that God's made with me. And they go on with their reasons why I've been hurt this, I've been done that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just shopping. I mean, they've told me all kinds of things. And I always ask them this one question. Then can you please tell me the difference between love and lust? In your opinion, what's the difference? Paul says, walk in love. God is, thank you. Who's the standard? He is. And I keep coming back that he's talking to the church here. I love this because you remember those people that says, well, I can't come to the church because I'm not good enough yet. It's kind of like, could you please read your Bible? Now listen, obviously I'm not advocating, you know, continuing your sin. Paul says in Romans, God forbid that we should do that because it's the whole cooperation of God loving on you and I that you realize the value of love and you don't want to do those things anymore. I don't want to cheat on my wife. I don't want to steal. I get convicted when I let my dogs out at 6 o'clock and they go outside and bark at the moon. The neighbors, stop. They're trying to sleep. Get in here. Why? Because I love my neighbors. And he goes on. This stuff, it gets better and better. Look at this. And then he says this. Is this okay? I promise you I'll quit in just a few minutes. Listen, verse 8 of chapter 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, here's the other one. Whatever this would be, number 4. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is even shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed that are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. For he says, arise, O thou that sleep, awaken from the dead. Christ will give you light. Walk circumspectly. Then he says what? Redeem the time. Find out what's pleasing to the Lord. Man, you talk about a verse for our lives. That should be it. That's a t-shirt. We need to make a t-shirt that says, finding out what's pleasing to God. You don't get it all in one download. The more you meditate on it, the greater the revelation becomes. And by the way, I am so thrilled by the response of pretty much all of you about reading your Bible through this year. We had a 5-day plan and a 7-day plan. And you guys lapped it up like a sponge. And you know what that means? It means at the end of this year, we're all going to have a deeper revelation of who God is. And we're going to see His plan from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And we're going to be able to discern His heart better because we read the love letter that He's given to you and I. And the thing that I'm really most excited about is it's going to give you a ton more questions to ask. That's it. That's a good theological point. Then he says this, see through it that you walk circumspectly. Let's drop on down. He said, redeeming the time. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. My last point is simply this. Make sure you're filled with God, filled with the Spirit. That's why we teach the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit here. And we don't teach a one time will do you. We don't teach a little dab will do you. Some of you are old enough to remember the Burrow Cream commercial. A little dab will do you. We don't teach that. You know why? We know why we teach about being filled and filled and filled, because we all leak, leak, leak. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. I would love to encourage you every morning, ask for a fresh infilling. Every morning, make your confession. Today, I choose to walk in love. Today, I choose to be filled with your Spirit, and I ask for you to fill me. Let the gifts of God operate in me. Let the fruit of the Spirit operate in me. And whatever is in me that stops that, get it out. I don't want a foothold in my life. I want God, as David said in Psalms 46, to be my strong. And then he went in to even do something more practical. He said, by the way, your marriage get it right. Guys, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Okay, we could park there for a while. Wives, honor your husband. Children, fathers, don't exasperate your kids, but love them. You ever been out in public and you've seen a mom or a dad just berate their child? I exercise self-control because I want to reach over and snatch him by the ear and say, all those words are going into spirit. You don't have to holler and scream at him. Yet your yes be yes and your no be no. And if he disobeys you, then there's sanctions for that. But you don't have to holler and scream. The other day I was out in public and there was an older lady there. And she was on a cane and she was trying to get into the door. And I reached up. It's just instinctive to me. I was raised this way. And plus the scripture. And I just, you know, the scripture says honor those that have gray hairs. So you see this? Okay. So I reached and I opened the door, and as I did, I said, go ahead, ma'am. These two kids, I want to call them punks, but I'm in church, so I have to be nice, started to run by her, and they bumped her, and I just went, I said, son, He just looked at me and said, she's going first.
Well, why?
I said, because Tweet had a buddy with him. I said, between the three of us, she's a whole lot more wise than we are. Well, I don't do that. I said, today, you are. And I looked at her, I said, go ahead, ma'am. And she said, thank you, Sonny. And then they started to go in. I said, oh, do you see this? You can come in after me. I was nice. I was polite. The mama was behind us. And I, of course, gave my name and waited my turn. She walked up to me with tears in her eyes. And she said, thank you so much. I said, you're welcome. Then she told me her story. Dad is in prison. Got my hands full. I mean, you know, I mean, it just broke my heart. I'm so glad I didn't holler at him or scream at him, but I was firm. Today, she goes first. Are you hearing me? Be filled. With the old Terry would have probably just went, boom! Oh, did I hit you? I am so sorry. My bad. Did that hurt? Oh, my heavens, you went down too. You know, maybe I wouldn't be facetious, but the last thing in chapter 6, what did he say to do? Put on the whole armor of God. My heart in sharing this with you today is to show you the entire heart of Paul as he wrote this book to the Ephesian church. He predicates it, in my opinion, upon chapter 3, where he says, here's the mystery, guys. Here's the revelation. That God, through the church, is going to address the principalities and powers of the world. And he's chosen us to do it. And he's so good that he's gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers to teach us and to train us how to do it. And we get to walk together in doing this. But as we start, what are you learning? What are we learning? What are you learning? Don't give place to the devil in your life. Stop making excuses. Walk in love. Learn what's pleasing to him. Be filled with the Spirit. Get your family right. And by the way, you're in warfare. So gear up. Don't you love Paul's wisdom here? You know the grandiose things that I mentioned earlier? If we do these things, they'll follow. You'll become sure of who you are because you know who he is. So of course God wants to heal. He's a God of love. Why wouldn't he? Of course God wants to set you free from that addiction. He's a God of love. Why wouldn't he? Of course, he can change you so you can be a good husband. Why wouldn't he? Yeah, he'll show you what real love's all about. And he loves to fill you up. And he's giving you some pretty cool weapons to walk in this warfare. Amen. I was deeply touched as I was reading this passage of Scripture. this book, and it just so struck me right where I was. I said, God, I'm so grateful that you're just constantly loving on me in every area of my life, that if I take care with you, my heart, that you will take care. Let me put it this way. If you and I will take care together with his Spirit, the depth of our life, he will take care of the breadth of my influence in the earth today. It's happening. It's happening to you guys. I see it. I hear your testimonies. Can you stand with me? Let's pray. Thank you for your patience. I've purposed in my heart, I think it's the Holy Ghost, to always end my sermons from now on to make sure everybody in the room is right with God. So with every eye open and everybody looking around, if you're not right with God, and you say, Brother Terry, I've been playing with sin. I've got this vice operating in my life. There's a foothold of the enemy, and I hate it. Could you just say that's me, and we want to pray for you? I release the grace of truth over your life. Got one there? Anybody else? Got one there? Thank you. Anybody else? This is good. Got another? Thank you. Oh, got, ooh, Jesus, come on. There we go. All right, that's good. Anybody else? Thank you, Earl. Y'all do. Thank you, ma'am. Listen, altar calls don't mean you're a sinful, ugly, rude, stupid person. It means you love God and God's doing something in your life. Listen, I told somebody, I said, listen, if God's moving in the bathroom, I'd stand in line at the bathroom. Anybody else? I'm fixing to release grace over your life, all right? I want you to pray right now, whatever that vice is, whatever that foothold is. I don't know what it could be anger, it could be lust, it could be, I don't know, just you know what it is. Go ahead right now and give it to him. Ask God to forgive you for it. Tell him that you're powerless in your struggle against it. That you intend to overcome it, but it always beats you back. Now ask him to forgive you. Now receive his grace. Just tell him, Lord, I receive your grace in my life. The grace of God for you means the empowering of God to do what he's called you to do. We've already received grace, which is unmerited favor, but we're born again. Now grace for us is the power of God to live up to what we see in his word and the call upon our life. Tell him, I receive it right now. Now I want you to do one more thing. Remember Ephesians? That how are we going to do this? We're going to do it together. Remember, every joint supplies a need. I tell you what the foothold has done for you, and ask me how I know. It's put so much fear, and Saray talked about it earlier. It's put so much fear in your life that if you go to someone and say, Pastor, talk to me about it today, and I prayed, and I dealt with it as best I know how. Here's the next step. Find someone you know and love and trust and tell them what your issue is. And ask them to pray with you. I'm fixing to do something else. This is real discipleship here. And ask them, all right? You got to give them an invitation to call you once a week and to check up on you. Not to check up to see if you're just sinning, but to see how you're doing and how what kind of prayers they can offer on your behalf. Everybody shaking your head? You're not being real. That's not a religious shake, is it? That's a real shake. You're going to be willing to do that? All right, let's go one more time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you've seen all of this today. God, you know I've done this all throughout my life. after I initially addressed the fear that everybody would hate me and disown me, which was a lie of the enemy. It has been one of the greatest sources of your grace and mercy in my life is through being hooked up, like Ephesians talked about, every joint that supplies the need, so that we can get to a place of health and wholeness that we declare this mystery to the principalities and powers in our culture and in our relationships. Thank you for the fruit that's going to come out of that, Lord. Lord, we want to be learning with you. Lord, we desire not to give the enemy a foothold. We want to walk in love. God, we want to know those things that please your heart. We want our marriages and our family life to reflect your grace and mercy. And we want to be spiritually fit to be warriors in your kingdom, so that we can fulfill this mystery that Paul talks about. We thank you for the days that are ahead of us, Lord. They're good because you're good. All right, can you lift your hands now with me? I want to bless you real quick. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance on you. And may the Lord give you his blessed, blessed peace. In Jesus' name, I pray. Can you say amen? Amen. Hug somebody before you leave today. God bless you guys.